Go back to where you came from and the recent one, whack job. Just a couple ways that Donald Trump has insulted four U.S. congresswomen known as the Squad. His comments and tweets have created a frenzy in the U.S. from Main Street to lawmakers. In this edition of the debate, we will look at racism in the U.S. from the top down, that is, from the president to Americans, and examine whether this is endemic in a country that claims that it's a flag bearer of democracy. First, let's get an idea about perhaps some reactions from Americans within the U.S. Our correspondent Colin Campbell joins us from Washington, D.C. Well, the insults just keep coming. Of course, that depends whether you're a Trump supporter or not. How has this been handled in the U.S., both by the media and Americans?
Well, I think the insults keep coming regardless of if a person is a Democrat or Republican. The difference is whether or not you agree with the insults, if you are on board with them. And of course, what we have seen is that the president has received a bump in approval ratings among Republicans. This is really something that some people have thought would be unexpected, for this vitriol to be espoused and then for him to get favorable, more favorable ratings from his base. But of course, this is what the president is trying to do. He's trying to galvanize his base, pull them all together. He's trying to bolster his support among his core constituents, and it looks like he's on the attack. It looks like he's a fighter, and he's creating that us versus them narrative, which is something that they all really identify with as they form in their clusters and look at themselves as kind of an identity unto themselves, as those who are fighters for democracy or white nationalists or whatever they identify themselves to be, and how they view themselves opposed to other groups. And the president is definitely exploiting this dynamic. And that's why we're seeing an uptick in the president's rhetoric, despite how ugly some people characterize it to be, how much he's been condemned, how much it's really just put Washington in some sort of an upheaval. Because again, what's underlying all of this is really nothing is being done. There isn't a whole lot of legislation going on right now, as there seems to be a lot of distraction over the race issue, over a president that seems who sends out very racialized messages, and some who just call him straight up as a racist. So all of this is happening right now. Meanwhile, there are other crises happening around the country that are being unaddressed.
Thank you very much for that. Before I let you go, Colin Campbell, what barometer are you referring to when you say that there's an uptick in Trump's supports? Quickly, if you can.
So there was a recent a poll, and I wish I could give you the exact publication, but there was an increase in percentage of the president's approval rating among Republicans and among those in his base after the attacks. If you come back to me, I could definitely research more for you on who published that poll rise, but that's what's being reported right now, that there was a rise in his approval number polling after the tweeted attacks about the four congresswomen.
Yeah, I think it was Rasmussen. At least that's one outlet that reported it that way, that brought it up to, I think, 50%. Thank you very much. Colin Campbell there from Washington, D.C., a correspondent. Let me introduce our guest. We have Noel Fritsch, who's the president of the Southern Pine Strategies, who joins us from Raleigh, North Carolina. Richard Becker, author and activist, joins us from San Francisco. Gentlemen, welcome. Let me first start with you, Noel Fritsch, if I may. And I'd like to understand, because some may not, what these phrases mean. Let's see here: left wing cranks, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, whack jobs, and the famous "go back where you came from," which many do understand. But those first three, perhaps you can tell us what Trump means by that, and whether you agree with him or not.
Well, I think certainly many millions of Americans, tens of millions of Americans, agree with the president, with his characterization of these four, and it's actually probably much likely more U.S. Representatives in the Congress there who espouse openly communistic, openly subversive positions as they seek to change policy here in the United States. And folks have had enough of it, and of course, he famously, everybody knows now, just baited them, and they all stood up and said, "Oh, he's talking about us." And so these women have essentially outed themselves as the cranks that he so rightly described them as, and you have a large segment of the U.S. populace who's going to be out voting here in 2020 coming up soon to make sure that President Trump stays in the White House.
Yeah, but these, Richard Becker, these four congresswomen, I mean, they have been elected to the positions that they are in, and for him to tell them to go back to where they came from, which is factually wrong, isn't that going to get more people mad at him by making these types of accusations and describing them this way?
Well, I think certainly it is. And, you know, we have to be clear that what President Trump is doing is going beyond the traditional dog whistling, that is, the subtle messages of racism that are used to activate his base and get them excited and so forth. This is open, unvarnished racism coming from the White House in a way that we haven't really seen in a long time, and it's extremely dangerous.
That's nonsense.
And you can see that there's an element of the base, the so-called base, is the so-called white nationalist, which is really another word, another term for fascist. They are fascist, and some of them have engaged in fascist violence already. One was just convicted again for the murder in Charlottesville 2 years ago. And I think that what the president is doing, you know, it's really not any big surprise. Trump's father was a Klansman, Ku Klux Klan. Trump was, you know, for years, I think, hid his real feelings. Now they're out there. And it's a strategy. It's a very highly dangerous strategy that is going to result,
I believe,
more violence against people of color and those who are perceived to be opponents of Trump.
Okay.
Trump is, you know, from calling Mexicans drug dealers and rapists to saying that in Charlottesville there were good people on both sides when one side is chanting, you will not replace us, and Jews will not replace us, openly anti-Semitic, you know, on and on and on. And now we have the attack on these four women of color, congresswomen of color, who have been elected, who represent their districts, and if they went back anywhere, they'd be going back to cities in the United States.
Noel Frisch, go ahead.
So Ilhan Omar has openly said, quote, this is not going to be a white country anymore. So she's overtly racist. And so the reason that the Democrat Party has to seize
on
this
white country anymore. It's not going to be a white country anymore.
Because really,
they
have nothing else to add to the. They have nothing else to add to the conversation. And, sir, I'll let you speak. I'll go ahead and take my time here now. Thanks. So they have nothing else to add to the conversation. And furthermore, they just seek to sow chaos in the country domestically. We're sitting at a time in history where the powers that be have lost control of the presidency and the Congress, because now we have a president who's going to actually enforce the border. Now we have a president who's actually going to put America first and stop, you know, letting just floods and hordes of people who come from places like Somalia, you know, to come in and invade, you know, once beautiful places like you know, Minnesota. And turn it into, I mean, just look at Europe.
That's more of the same racism.
Where we're headed,
just
we just
more
need to look
of the same
Germany.
Racism.
And that's where
that
we're
Trump
headed in the United States.
Perpetuating
and so,
on people
so,
in the United States.
Hey, I frankly hope the Democrats beat on this racism drum for the next 2 years, because it will ensure President Trump's reelection. And so that's mm-hmm. how he won. People were tired of being called a bigot because they want the border enforced. And Democrats and the deep state, the administrative state, seek to sow all of this discord because they want power over all of the human capital on the planet. They want power over who goes to war and when. I guess some of your viewers might know very well that all of the corporate paid media is trying to start another war with Iran. They're blaming all of these bombings with these ships on Iran. And it's totally bogus. Most of the good Americans who elected President Trump know that. It's actually a pretty interesting cross-cutting cleavage you have there. And folks who are wise see through that. They don't want to go to war. They know that the corporate paid media, the Democrat shills for Northrop Grumman and Raytheon and Boeing, just want to go sell more missiles, and they don't care who they blow up. And that's what this is all about. The corporate media wants control over President Trump, so they're going to try to seek to delegitimize him and gain advantage any way they can.
Go ahead, Richard Becker.
Trump has leveled sanctions, which are really a form of warfare against Iran. So let's not pretend that Trump is some kind of an anti-war figure, an anti-war president. He's not. And he's surrounded by a group of true warmongers, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo. That's just pretense. The reality of the situation is this. Trump represents the super rich. He's part of the rich, and he represents the super rich. And how do you get poor people, working class people to support you? You create false consciousness. By false consciousness, meaning that immigrants are our problem. Immigrants are not our problem. There's a shortage of workers in the United States. Without immigrant workers, without undocumented immigrant workers, U.S. agriculture would collapse. So this is not really about getting rid of immigrants. It's about terrorizing immigrants and fooling people who are documented and who have citizenship in the United States to support a regime, which is their enemy. That's the Trump regime. You know, there's six people in the United States today, as of January, who own the same amount of wealth as half of the population of the United States. That's our problem. It's the extreme inequality that is fostered by and is inevitably fostered by capitalism. I'm not a Democrat, but that's the reality of the situation, is that Trump represents the super rich, but he fools the people with talking about immigration and promoting racism.
Okay, let me get some idea from you, Noel Fritz, if I can.
Yeah, the jobs numbers are the best they've been. The jobs numbers are the best they've been in a long time.
I'd like to get an idea from you, because we're trying to get an idea here about how
Americans
feel altogether.
There's a labor shortage in the United States.
Hold on, Richard Becker.
Let
me get this out to you first, Noel Fritz. I'll get to you, Richard Becker, in a second. Now, this is one of the tweets that Donald Trump has said of many. He said that they are destroying the Democrat Party. I'm appalled that so many of our presidential candidates are falling all over themselves to try to agree with the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. I'm entitled to say that they are whack jobs. Okay, now, this got 8,000 comments. This is from his Twitter page, Donald Trump's Twitter page. It got 15,000 retweets. But here's the part that I'd like to ask you about. It got 71,000 likes. When you go down the tweets that Donald Trump has made on this subject, towards the squad, if you want to call him that, he gets a lot of likes. This is probably one of the lower ones. He's had likes of over 100,000. Now, I'm not too sure how you would characterize or describe the way that he has described this congresswoman, but many are saying these are racist comments. So is it fair to conclude that this is how Americans think also, like Trump, because they're liking his tweets? Again,
no,
I'm just
number one, the tweets are not racist. Let's clear that up. Number one, the tweets are not racist. Let's clear that up, okay? The tweets are not racist, all right? He didn't say anything about it, and they volunteered themselves.
Clearly
and then they
racist.
Said they're the, and then he called them the cranks. Now we're talking about AOC and Ilhan Omar, who married her brother, by the way. These are crazy crank people, okay? The other day,
what?
Ilhan Omar and AOC asked would they denounce terrorism, got into a car, wouldn't answer the question, and then busted out laughing. That is not American behavior. That is cranky, kooky, crazy, wacky. You call it what you will. The president has a funny vocabulary that seems to connect with a lot of people, and they're not racist, period.
Okay. What is the definition of racism, then, that is coming into the picture? Perhaps in that you have a different definition than many others do, whether it's from the media or plain old Americans.
Okay, well, the media says that if you want to secure your border, you're a racist. The media says if you oppose communism, you're a racist, right? So their definition of the word racist is so beyond overly broad as to be utterly useless and absurd. So we need to get beyond the idea that we're just going to go call every moving, living, breathing thing a racist, and then ask, what's this really about? Let's get to the core of the matter. Let's not, you know, debate about how many heart symbols Donald Trump has on a tweet. That's absurd. Let's talk about the people who are being forced into this country to work for, you know, low wages for the Chamber of Commerce. You know, the Iranian people have come to the United States for many, many decades, many tens and thousands, hundreds of thousands even. They have a long history of adding value to an American society, and that's great. They excel in engineering, the academy. You know, they add to society. And that's not so with Somalians. So a lot of these people come here for whatever reason. I guess Omar, they marry their brothers and sisters. Their IQs don't end up being so high. There's a problem there. And they end up having, less than desirable living circumstances in their neighborhoods. And, you know, we don't want that. We don't want to have that type of scenario, you know, where Somalia comes to Minneapolis.
Okay. So, Richard Becker, this is very interesting, I guess, sir, in the way that you described this not being racism. And I'd like to come to you, Richard Becker, based on what our correspondent, Colin Campbell, said, which I believe was based on a poll by Rasmussen that said that Trump got an uptick in his popularity rating. Back in 2016, when he got elected, it was said through a map that if you do a simple Google search, that you'll see that the demographic that Trump actually appealed to in a very big way, that the Democrats were not able to tap into, were the whites with no college degree. That was the largest voter group by country. And based on the turnout that had happened, they're the ones that Trump actually had an appeal to. Is that what America represents when it comes to Trump? Whites with no college degree, and that's where he has an appeal towards, or where the appeal is from these Americans towards Trump?
I first must say that characterizing people from Somalia as being low IQ is a very a good example of racism. And I think your other guest doesn't understand what racism is. It's about demonizing another people. It's about stereotyping them. Exactly
when
what
people
he's been
inbreed
doing.
And Trump they have problems with their progeny,
you know, it's
that's not racism. That's biology,
that
sir.
See, this is more of the same. You're just digging your hole deeper and deeper. You're just proving what a racist you are by that statement as well as your other statements. Racism is the demonization of a group of people.
Next you're going to reject that
based
there are two sexes, male and female.
And we're seeing that happening. And here's the other thing, that who adds the greatest value in the United States are the people who are really responsible today, from upstate New York to Southern California, for agricultural production, from dairy farming to oranges to cattle. This is being done mostly by undocumented workers. They should be documented. They should be given a path to citizenship. They should, the discrimination against them should end, and the demonization against them should end, because the purpose
it's not
of it, as I said before,
why can't
is
Americans
not actually
work those
to
jobs?
Get rid of all
why
the
can't, why can't,
undocumented
why
workers.
Work American jobs?
Because the because
why, do you,
they
why do you insist
they
upon
will not
why do you insist upon
they
importing
go and
slave
the
level
farmers
labor.
Have tried
okay, one second,
you know, you
why
don't
do
you, understand
why do Democrats
insist
on
you're both
at
talking at the same time
you don't understand economics at all.
Richard Becker, one second,
the
ask one
US
question there
urban
if you can.
People in the United States
Noel
will
Fritch,
not return
your
to
question.
Agriculture.
I'm sorry, Noel Fritch, ask your question. Richard Becker, you go ahead and answer. Noel Fritch, go ahead. You had a question there, short one.
Why do the Democrats used to be staunch union supporters, backers of labor and, you know, fair wage and all that. Why do Democrats now demand slave level labor from massive hordes of, low skilled, low educated human capital from the South?
OK, stop.
Why do Democrats demand
Richard
that
Becker,
now? Why do they
that.
Need slaves in the United
Richard
States
Becker,
to do their
go
agricultural
ahead.
Work? Please help me understand.
I mean, I'm not a Democrat, but the Republicans are the ones who have blocked any immigration reform and any policy that would allow for people to get on a path to citizenship. I don't think the Democrats have been great about it either, but it's just ridiculous to talk about. It's just the Democrats that are preventing this. And again, we have the terminology to apply to people as hordes. That, again, is racism. That is racism, pure and simple. And the reality of agriculture in the United States today is that after trying and trying and trying, urban people will not go back into agriculture. They can't do it. They won't do it. So really the economic foundation of the United States would collapse without the labor of immigrants and particularly undocumented immigrants who, again, should be given a path to citizenship.
Okay. Noel Fritch, last question to you.
I'm curious. Demonized the way Trump is doing.
Noel Fritch, last question to you. I'm curious if you were the advisor for Trump, if you would recommend him to continue with the way that he's characterizing and approaching different issues, such as how he approached these four congresswomen. Let's say that he feels perhaps that he's falling behind the polls. Would this approach be recommended by you for him to continue? And do you feel like he's going to win 2020?
I do feel like he's going to win 2020. I think Joe Biden is probably the only candidate who can beat him. And I would recommend that the president be who he is. I think that what you see on Twitter is the truest really characterization of who he is. He is authentically himself right there. He goes around his advisors. And I would recommend that the president continue to be himself and not, you know, stick his finger in the wind and see which way the polls are going or how many likes did I get on this
retweet. I'm going to give 30 seconds, I'm sorry, to Richard Becker also. Richard Becker, 30 seconds, the same question. Sorry, Noel Fritch. Richard Becker, go ahead, 30 seconds, same question.
I think that there's it's impossible to say who's going to win the election in 2020. I think that Trump, you know, is a nightmarish character, actually, because of his promotion of racism and, in reality, fascist ideas among the population in the United
States. Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there.
That's
unfortunately,
very
we're fresh
dangerous.
Out of time. I do apologize.
And I think that
thank
we,
you, Richard Becker. Richard
Becker,
their author and activist from San
the
Francisco. Thank you, Noel Fritch, president of the Southern Pine Strategies, and also our correspondent Colin Campbell at the top of the debate spoke to us from Washington, D.C. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitale, entire team in the capital, San Francisco. Goodbye.